Hey, this is WTOP's Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by, I'll just say your name and your, I guess, title with the show.
James Olmsted, conductor and music director.
And we are talking The Batman live in concert. It's going to be this Saturday, April 22nd, 8 p.m. at Warner Theater in downtown D.C. Hey, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, happy to be here.
Now, of course, The Batman came out earlier last year, I guess last February, so a little over a year ago. But man, the music is just burned into our brains. That Michael Giacchino score, I immediately think of it. It's like a bum 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 bum. It's looping in our heads. Talk about, I guess, before we get to this concert, talk about your experience with seeing it for the first time. I mean, were you just sort of just as arrested by the music as we were when you saw it first time?
A year ago when I watched it in theaters, I was blown away by the score. I'd just never seen anything like that for a Batman movie. And then just to think that I get the opportunity to conduct the score less than a year later is really pretty exciting for me.
That's awesome. All right, let's go into the show then. How does it work? Is it are they screening the movie on a giant screen, or is it just the orchestra, or it's both?
So we have a giant screen above the stage, and the orchestra is set up below the stage. So we have the 50-piece orchestra, and we pretty much perform the score in sync with the movie. It's a pretty long movie too, close to 3 hours. So
yeah, I mean, your arm waving those batons is going to get tired a little bit. we've done a ton of these sort of shows where, you know, it's, you might even know some of your colleagues throughout. Stephen Reinecke does a ton at like Kennedy Center,
sure.
Wolf Trap. Emile Decoux does them at Wolf Trap and stuff. When they, you know, they screen these movies and you play the live score. But they usually do it conducting the National Symphony Orchestra. So which orchestra will you be doing? You know, that big 50-piece orchestra you mentioned, who is the orchestra?
So I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure we may have some people from the National Symphony Orchestra, but it was contracted by a contractor out of Florida. So, sure,
okay.
Actually.
Gotcha. So describe the process for you. Are you looking at a screen? They always describe it sort of like, what's it called? Like Guitar Hero. Like you have to hit sort of certain dots, you know, at exact like, moment. But yeah, I mean, describe for our listeners how sort of precise of a thing it is for three straight hours.
Oh, so it is, I could certainly see it a bit like Guitar Hero, sort of like conduct by numbers. There are certain cues you have to start and stop at the exact right time. The thing with this movie, though, it has a lot of flexibility in the strings and the tempos move forward and backwards just throughout the entire piece. So it's a little bit less conduct by numbers and a little bit more by feel. And you have to just let the strings just kind of do their thing, because otherwise you lose the appeal of this score.
Exactly. All right. Well, you're you're the music genius here. I'm just some radio guy. So I want to get to the music, go into the musicality with you. I don't know. Is there a way you could sort of break down, you know, what sort of instruments we hear throughout, or some of the more famous pieces of this, like what sort of instruments are involved in the Riddler scenes? What's involved in the Penguin scenes? You know what I mean? Like, is there any way you can sort of break down what instruments we're going to hear?
I could break down certain things. Sure. I mean, when there's a little bit of a solo, lonely feel, you might just hear a little bit of piano and celeste. These two sort of do the theme. Or a solo boy soprano will sing. And it sort of brings in the theme in a very eerie way. And that's usually for when we have the Riddler, or perhaps reading a poem or poetry or something that he's written for the Batman. Otherwise,
like the little mystery clues.
The little clues, yes, exactly. The strings themselves, I think, is probably the most exciting part. And it's not so much the thematic material, but the way that they're used. It's a lot of up to the player. We do a lot of quarter tone bends and a lot of harmonics. And it's sort of using the string section in a way that strings are not used to being used. There are certain passages in the score that just have, you know, slash marks and say, do pizzicato, you know, pluckety pluck. That's all the score says for them. And they just have to sort of fill in the sort of creepiness that Michael wrote. It's really kind of an incredible experience.
Absolutely. What does he use any certain instruments for the actual Batman character, the Robert Pattinson? Like, you know how usually movie, like superheroes will have like a hero theme or something. Like, what this movie is is darker than, you know, the typical, you know, superhero with some rousing music or something. So what do they is there like a motif that returns every time Batman?
It's a bit of a coming of age story for Batman in this particular piece, but yeah. He uses a lot of the lower end brass section to bring out when the Batman's coming in. And it's the bum, 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 bum. That is going to happen whenever action is about to, whenever Robert Pattinson's about to do something with action. So lower horns for him. Yeah. Lower brass. We have a lot of bass clarinets. Anything on the low end really brings in from the Batman.
So the bum, 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 bum that you just said and that I sang earlier, that is low end brass?
Yes.
Awesome. Cool. And then of course I know there's a lot of additional music in it too, like, you know, the Nirvana Something in the Way and stuff like that. Is that stripped off the soundtrack, or I guess those songs stay on the big screen, but you're sort of replacing the instrumental stuff?
Those songs, there's two places where the Nirvana tune comes in, and we just leave that alone. That's a whole different issue. So I do stare at my guitarist the entire time that the tune is playing, but that does live with the movie and not live.
You just stare at the guitarist. He doesn't like air guitar.
Sometimes that does happen for fun, but that's between the conductor and the orchestra.
I love it. He can wear his little Kurt Cobain sweater unplugged or something. We've interviewed Michael Giacchino before. I mean, a lot of our listeners will remember a lot of his stuff on, you know, like Disney stuff, you know, or Pixar. I mean, like Up and Ratatouille, he's done amazing. But I mean, but more than that, like, he's just like the blockbuster guy now. Like a lot of he's done Mission Impossible and Jurassic World, a lot of Marvel, Star Trek, like pretty much all the big movies. He's like
What's impressive is the breadth of the scores that he writes. He writes across the board. There's not, you know, the style that he has is really just high quality movie music, and he completely delivers every time.
Do you have a favorite score of his?
I mean,
you had to pick. Other than the Batman.
Well, I mean, it's an entirely different score, but I mean, my personal introduction, I'm thinking, was Up, and that was just a phenomenal score from start to finish.
Oh yeah, I mean, to be able to carry that opening montage where there's no dialogue, but the characters are aging over time in like a 10-minute opening montage with just music. That, I mean, that say no more. There's like some beautiful piano work in Inside Out. All the Planet of the Apes prequels that he did, which now he reunites with that director for the Batman, Matt Reeves.
Yes.
So yeah, it's an incredible piece of work. If there's listeners that maybe somehow didn't see the Batman, it's hard to believe because the hardcore fans are going to come out to this because it's just like once in a lifetime thing. But talk about how if there's some listeners that somehow missed it, talk about how like this is like a unique Batman that they should come see. Like,
what I think is pretty amazing about this experience is, we tend to go to these movies that we really like a theme from the movie, and we want to just get there and listen to the Jurassic Park theme or whatever happens, you know, with the movie. In this movie, the orchestra, it's a 2-hour, 45-minute movie. The orchestra is playing music for 2 hours of that. It is scored almost from start to finish, which is pretty unheard of in a movie. So what I love is that the music, the strings, it's underneath so much of the dialogue, so you really get a full symphonic experience the entire time you're there. It's almost like you're there to watch a symphony and there happens to be a movie playing above. So if you love symphony and you love this score, I mean, it's really an opportunity you can't miss.
It's, to me, it's better than going to see it in a movie theater. Or, I mean, nowadays, I think I even saw the Batman streaming at home because it was during the pandemic. So, I mean, speak to that maybe if our listeners saw it either streaming at home or in a regular movie theater, how this is just even more epic and better than that even.
Well, if you even put on your headphones, listen to the score on, you know, Spotify or Apple Music, it really sounds like an epic score. And to have those instruments played for you, this is not stereo, you know what I mean? This is live. They're played from all over the theater. You're going to hear horns and strings, and the way that they mix it, you're going to have a full surround sound experience. Joe.
Now, do you guys take an intermission? Like, I know in the movie there isn't, but I know in some of these other live orchestral movie concert things, sometimes they'll just pick a moment and dip to black, and then you guys can rest and come back.
It's kind of funny. Yes, that is, we have to. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons for that, whether it's orchestra breaks or, you know, the audience needs a break. And this is a long movie. But we do take an intermission. And the funny thing is, it happens at such an appropriate time that we hardly notice that it's interrupting the movie. It's, you know, it's we go to black and we have a little on tracks to bring us back into the movie with some Batman themes. And yeah, so there's an intermission.
Awesome. And then just, you know, more broadly, I mean, we've talked about Giacchino's score for this version, you know, the Batman, but do you also geek out on some of the previous ones, like that Tim Burton 1989 Batman, I mean, that's iconic. Then Hans Zimmer's, the whole Dark Knight trilogy. I mean, that's epic and so well known to a whole other generation. Do you geek out from an orchestral, you know, musical level on those guys too?
Oh, I totally geek out. I've been a fan of Batman since the 1989 Danny Elfman score. It's funny, though, as I've been conducting this show, this is the only score that runs through my head, probably until we end the tour. So
it's probably a good thing. You don't want to get mixed up while you're out there. you don't want to be waving the baton and then Batman. You don't want that in your head. All right, cool. Well, is there anything else we haven't said? I mean, I think I have more than enough to work with. I guess just in closing, pretend that I'm not here and like you're speaking directly to our listeners, just like, hey, DC, come on out to see the Batman. You know, it's a, you know, once in a lifetime thing or something like that.
Great. Hey, DC, don't miss this chance to see the Batman live with Symphony. Come check us out on Saturday at 8 p.m.
Awesome. Hey, thanks so much. This was fun.
All right. Thank you, Jason. I appreciate the call.
All right. Bye.